Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome to the Science of Success. Introducing your host, Matt Bodner.
Welcome to the Science of Success, the number one evidence-based growth podcast on the internet, with more than 3 million downloads and listeners in over 100 countries. In this special bonus episode, we discuss how to stop social anxiety and self-doubt, how you can talk confidently to anyone in any setting, and how you can feel more confident, bold, and proud of who you are with our returning guest, Dr. Aziz Ghazapura. Let's dive straight into the episode. Today, we have another exciting guest back on the show for a bonus episode, Dr. Aziz Ghazapura. Dr. Aziz is a clinical psychologist and the founder of the Center for Social Confidence, which is dedicated to helping others break through their shyness and social anxiety. He's the author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Not Nice: Stop People Pleasing, Staying Silent and Feeling Guilty, and Start Speaking Up, Saying No, Asking Boldly, and Unapologetically Being Yourself. Dr. Aziz's work has helped thousands of people through workshops, coaching, media appearances, and more. We're also doing a special live webinar with Dr. Aziz on Thursday of this week. So if you like what we have to talk about here, if you're excited about this topic and you want to learn more about how you can build confidence, definitely check out the webinar that we're doing live with Dr. Aziz this Thursday. That said, Dr. Aziz, welcome back to the show.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we loved the first interview that you did. I personally really resonated with the content, thought it was awesome. I put a sticky note up on my wall that said, say no, ask boldly. That was kind of motivational for me. But I want to start out with some of the things that people struggle with around confidence building. And even before we dig into that, what happens when someone doesn't have confidence, or what does life look like when you struggle with confidence?
Yeah, this is such a good question, because I think a lot of people, myself included, don't even know how to diagnose that or pinpoint that. We just feel bad or limited or stuck. And we might not be walking around thinking, I'm lacking confidence. I need more confidence. I didn't think that when I was younger. I just felt, oh, there's that person I want to talk to. No, I can't. Oh, they're not going to like me. Oh, I want to speak up here. Oh, I'm not as good as those people. And we're just living more in the the symptoms of low confidence than we are in really knowing the problem that's really at the root. And the symptoms can be, I mean, just pick any area of life and there are literally dozens. So if you are feeling low confidence at work, it will show up in difficulty speaking up, sharing your ideas, interacting with others, being seen as an authority or a leader. It might even show up socially at work. Like, I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to look at people. I'm going to be more avoidant of certain kind of conversations. And that's just a small snippet. It could be in your dating life and relationships. And everyone knows what it feels like to be scared to approach someone. Or even if you can date, you're just not being you. You know, that's what I did for many years. You're being nice. You're being pleasing. And then, of course, this can show up socially, but also just in our self-confidence. We can be walking around feeling like we're failing, feeling like we're not enough, even if nothing's happening that day. It can be just this general pervasive sense. So there are so many ways that it shows up. And that's why I'm so glad that people are listening to this, because if anything resonates, there's nothing wrong with you. It just could be confidence is what's missing.
That's a really important point. It's almost this pervasive struggle that you may not even realize it's a quote unquote confidence problem, but there's all kinds of symptoms that I know I've experienced, I know you've experienced, that so many people experience in their lives that are really all symptomatic of having a confidence struggle or having low confidence.
Absolutely. And I think that when we don't know that, we get stuck. We think like it's so easy to go toward the gravitational pull towards there's something wrong with me is very intense. And again, that's not maybe not the exact words that people use, but it's the feeling we have. It's like shame. So maybe we feel anxious. We feel scared to talk to that person. We feel inferior compared to a colleague or a friend or that beautiful person or whatever. And then we feel like ashamed and there's something wrong with me. And you know, across the board, and I've worked with thousands of people at this point, one of the most universal things that people experience when they come into my world is they feel embarrassed or ashamed that they don't have the confidence. And so now you have this issue of not having confidence or as much as we want, and then another layer on top of no one must know. So we can get really buried in this. And people actually can kind of struggle with this for years, or even sometimes some people come into my world after 15, even 20 years or more. And once they realize like, oh, this is a confidence thing, they can make radical progress at work and relationships in these really tangible areas of life that matter in months. And it's because it's all in being able to pinpoint the actual problem. And that's what I love about the work that I do.
That's fascinating that the shame is in many ways worse than some of the original symptoms or problems that people struggle with when they have a confidence problem.
Yeah, it's fascinating, right? And it's just piling more on. Right. More there's something wrong with me, more self-doubt, more self-judgment. And that's really at the core of the biggest symptom. If you're wondering like what's the granddaddy symptom of low confidence and in all these different areas that I mentioned, it's gonna be self-judgment. It's gonna be this toxic coach. In fact, in one of my ebooks called 5 Steps to Unleash Your Inner Confidence, I the first thing I want to teach people, what's the first step, is you gotta fire your toxic coach. Inside of our own head, we have this nonstop judgmental voice. And so many people are so habituated to it. It's so familiar. It's almost like, again, just something else we don't notice. It's just how it is. So you walk by, you see someone that looks better dressed than you, and you think, oh, I don't dress very well. And there's no moment where you're like, whoa, that was a pretty harsh thing to say to myself or think to myself. It just flies under the radar. And so that's the big takeaway so far in our conversation here. If you have this reoccurring self-judgment in one or more areas of life or all the time, that right there is your red flag that there's a confidence issue, and that can be resolved, and it can be resolved quickly, and your life will become radically better when you stop that critical, negative judgment of yourself.
I think you made two really important points, which are distinct but interrelated. One is this idea that it's so important to diagnose what the actual cause of the problem is, because if you don't, then you feel stuck. You feel like there's nothing you can do. You don't understand why you're thinking that way, why you're feeling ashamed and anxious and inferior and shy and like you can't talk to anybody. And it's so critical to figure out the root cause of that so that you can solve it. And the second thing, which I think is vital, and it's funny because we've seen this theme and we've interviewed a number of scientists and doctors and so forth on the show that have talked about this, but this idea around self-compassion is so important, and it's something that seems very soft and almost woo-woo, and like it's not something, if you're a high performer. And I struggle with this, and I've struggled with this my whole life, which is I'm very hard on myself and I have very high standards and I'm always beating myself up. And the reality is, if you look at the science, the best thing to do in a lot of cases to improve your performance is to actually not be as hard on yourself and have more compassion for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that's what I did my dissertation in, my training in clinical psychology was on self-compassion, particularly meditation and self-compassion, how that could be used as a vehicle to grow our self-compassion. Because I knew, even at that time, I was working on my own confidence a ton at that point. Wow, self-compassion is this golden key. And maybe meditation is in one way to do that. There's many ways to do that. And I'm so glad that there's more credence given to this, more research given to this. Because if you take a step back and look at the idea of being more compassionate, more patient, more empathic, more loving with yourself to, say, improve mood or energy or performance, that in our culture at this point, that's met with like, oh, that's so soft. You know, that's rejected. Like, take a step back and zoom out and say, that's, something's not right there. There's something twisted there that we think that's going to be somehow counterproductive. And it just goes really deep to the way that we judge ourselves. We think we got to punish ourselves or push ourselves. And it's this kind of punishment mentality that a lot of us grew up with that does not work. And, you know, parenting experts know it doesn't work. Even animal trainers know it doesn't work, dog trainers and such. So there's kind of this disconnect between what experts and scientists and people studying it know, and then what is kind of the residual old habits that we do. And that's what's so beautiful and liberating about this confidence building work is you can learn these habits, you can practice them, and you can transform. And that's why one of my biggest messages that I want to get out into the world is confidence is a skill and anyone can learn it. And self-compassion is just one of those sub-skills of confidence that we can all learn.
That's such a powerful point. And I want to dig into that a little bit further. But you said something a second ago, which I think is equally as important, which is this notion that there's a disconnect between what science knows and what people do, especially around confidence and self-esteem. What's wrong with the way today that people try to build their confidence, try to fake it till they make it, try to improve their self-esteem? Where do people go wrong when they're doing that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think people go wrong because they're not looking at, you know, research or really studying it. They're just kind of doing what people around them tell them, or they observe and they think, oh, maybe I'll try this. And that is problematic because the advice that's out there, the kind of standard suggestions, just plain do not work. So some of the big ones that people try is, well, push through. If you're anxious or feeling bad or whatever, just push through. Just do it anyway. And if you can't, then you failed and you're a coward. And if you can, well, then good. You've proved yourself. And that might seem like, oh, that is a solution. But it's not a very high quality solution because it's full of additional problems. What happens if you're in a situation, you're trying to just push through and do it, trying to give that speech or give that presentation or approach that person or speak up or have that difficult conversation with the colleague, you're trying to push through and you like cannot, you freeze up inside or you stutter or you just clench it. Then what happens now is 9 out of 10 people, maybe 99 out of 100 people, they leave that moment where they tried to push through and they couldn't. What are they doing in their head? They're ripping themselves to shreds, you know? So now you just tried to jam through, and then afterwards you're berating yourself. Well, what's wrong with me? I'm such a coward. I'm so weak. I should have been able to. Oh, other people can. And I'm, you know, you might know this. For me, those experiences could last literally days, depending upon the incident of embarrassment and shame and failure. And so this push through method just really doesn't work. And actually makes the problem worse over time because of these instances that I just described. And if you'd like, I could give several others. I mean, there's a host of things that people do. Another one that I see very commonly, similar to the push through, it's even got its own slogan. It's called fake it till you make it. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a very common slogan in a lot of personal development or entrepreneurial circles.
Right. And again, these things are not totally false. So there's nothing to them. And there's a reason why they're kind of passed down, because they point sort of in the right direction. But again, they're low quality solutions, because they create more problems down the road. So fake it till you make it is similar to push through, but it's like, okay, if you feel anxious, act like you're not anxious and then push through. It's another way of saying push through, but try to act more confident. I mean, take a step back and look at that. Someone has struggled with confidence from age 9 or age 13, and now they're 30 or 32, and they're trying to be confident at work. And the advice that they get from their roommate, from their parent, from their friend, from whatever is basically, hey, just try to look more confident. Again, if we take a step back, it's like I shake my head. I'm like, oh, we could do better. Of course, these things aren't working. And so what ends up happening is people try to push through and they get really jammed up inside. So not only do they might they freeze up if they're trying to fake it till they make it, but actually, and this is one of the biggest reasons why I caution against this with anyone I teach, work with in my programs or clients, because you often, when you're faking it, get worse results than when you're truly confident. And so then what happens is it reinforces these old stories. So let's take an example. You want to date and you're like, I'm scared to talk to people and put myself out there and stuff. So we'll fake it till you make it. Act confident, try to look confident. And so people do, and they might get poor responses. They might get no one responds to them, or they go on one date and I want to hang out with you again. And they say, ah, you see, I knew there was something wrong with me. I knew I'm ugly or not attractive or not interesting or whatever their old stories are. But you know, the real truth, the real reason they're not getting the positive response is because they're faking it. It's because inside they're tense. They don't think they're enough. They feel inferior. They feel like, of course, this person could do better than me or whatever. And then they're trying to put this gloss of fake confidence on top, and it's not going to work. That people are going to feel and see right through it. Even if they don't know it, even if it's unconscious, the person is going to be like, no, not interested. And so these solutions that are all very external and very just kind of change your behavior and you're good, they don't work. And what we got to do is we got to go, you know, confidence, another saying of mine is confidence is an inside job. So we got to be willing to go in there, look under the hood of the car, like really actually address what's going on. And then all of a sudden you don't need to fake it anymore. You just are more confident.
I think you're really striking at the heart of a major issue. And the more I spend time studying psychology and talking to experts, this comes up again and again, which is this core belief or feeling of inferiority, of not being enough, of feeling like you're not good enough or you're not up to it, is something that is so pervasive. And, you know, as you said earlier, really one of the core symptoms of not understanding or cultivating or developing, as you talked about, the skill of confidence.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big one. That's rampant in the culture, in the world. Alfred Adler, who was a contemporary of Sigmund Freud, you know, way back with analysis was beginning. That was the biggest thing he saw. He's like, hey, everyone's got, that's where the term inferiority complex comes from. It's like, we have this deep sense of I'm not enough. I'm less than others. I'm inadequate. I'm lacking. I'm deficient. And then from that, we can either implode and feel just bad about ourselves and kind of avoid all interaction or really diminish what we do in life. Or we can have what's called an overcompensation response, where that's where you get people are like, inside I feel like I'm not enough. So now I'm going to achieve the greatest thing in the world and tell everyone about it, and kind of, which might seem more adaptive. But, and that's a lot of people that I work with too. And honestly, that's where a lot of my own growth has been, like to strive and grow, but then not have becoming from this place of I'm not enough. But it seems good, right? That's better than imploding. But actually, there's just as much suffering in it, because then people are achieving and they get their goal and they're like, oh, dang, I still feel the same. I still feel inferior. Oh no. And so they just try to strive more. And so they're still not free. They're not liberated. They're maybe a little more powerful in the world, getting a little more of what they want, but we're not free. And for me, this confidence work is really about liberation. Like, how do we free ourselves to unapologetically be ourselves, to deeply be on our own side and like and love who we are and really know who we are in this life, so that we can fully express and live ourselves, be ourselves.
That's such a great way to put it. And I've always love that subtitle, that piece of the subtitle of the book, which is Unapologetically Being Yourself, because that really strikes at the core of what can happen when you truly start to practice and master and implement a lot of these skills. Tell me a little bit more about this idea, because it's such an important lesson that confidence is something, is a skill that's learnable. It's not something you're born with. It's not something that you luck into, but it's something that you can train and improve and grow. Tell me about that idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So I saw that in myself from the very beginning. What the moment I reached my rock bottom, where I was 21 years old and just failed at dating, couldn't talk in front of a group of people, felt inferior all the time, especially around other men. And there was this moment where I like found some, I was open to it, to find some training about, you know, how to be more confident talking to women. And I really studied it and did what the training told me to do. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, like it wasn't like an overnight, oh, it worked. And then I became, you know, a billionaire and had women around me everywhere. It was more like that was different than it's ever been in my life. I all of a sudden saw, wait a minute, I could change something in my mind, in my behavior, in my feelings. I could change something and I could get a slightly different result, slightly better result. And from that moment, I was hooked. And then flash forward, this was just a couple years ago I did this. So maybe flash forward, you know, 10, 14 years, something like that. I did it was called the Art of Extraordinary Confidence Summit. And I interviewed 25, 30, just those the most confident people in business, in communication, in relationships, and even in spiritual teachers. And every single person is like, I want to learn from you. I want my audience to learn from you around confidence. And every single one of them, somewhere in the interview, I asked them this question, have you always been this confident? And every single one of them, except for one guy, all, you know, 29 out of the 30, you know how they respond when I ask them that? Their response was to laugh. Every single one, they kind of laugh like, no. Pretty much across the board, that was the most typical response because none of them started that way. And that's where I already knew that, but that's where it just clicked 100%. I was like, oh my God, no one is born this way. It's a skill. These amazing, confident people who are achieving great things in all these areas of life, they learned it. And everyone learns it, you know, in different ways at different times. But that is the big takeaway. We can learn confidence. It's a skill. And so like any skill to learn it, you need to break it down into subsets, right? Like if you want to learn the guitar, you can just say like, give someone a guitar and say, now play it, right? You have to break it down into its elements. Like where do you put your left hand? Where do you put your right hand? Where do you put your fingers on the string? How do you pluck the other strings? What are chords? What are notes? You know, what are sequences, scales, all these things. And confidence, it turns out, is the exact same way. And the only reason that people don't just learn that like they do the guitar is because of a story in their heads and in the culture in general, which is like, oh, you can't do that. You can't just learn those things. You know, for example, a sub-skill of confidence, you know, akin to like a chord and a guitar might be like a way to use your body language when you start a conversation with someone. And so if you learn how to use confident body language, all of a sudden, now you're going to get better responses when you talk to people. That's like just learning a chord. And so if you learn enough of these chords and these progressions, all of a sudden you can play a beautiful song on the guitar, you know, and you can be you in a relaxed and beautiful way as yourself. And that's the real confidence. None of this faking it or pretending or gloss. That's the core skill. And so my obsession over these last 16 years that I now, you know, teach in groups and workshops and my weekends and Confidence University and all these things I do has been, how do we break down all the sub skills, teach them in ways that are extremely approachable and easy, and then practice them? Because if you watch a video about how to make a guitar chord and you're like, great, I got it, and you never picked up a guitar and tried with your own fingers, then you don't have squat. You didn't learn anything, right? So teaching the skill, practicing the skill, locking it in through repetition. And then people build on this, and lo and behold, and we've had this like process be visible with literally thousands of people. It's like, oh, this works. This is formulaic. If you do these things, you will build the skill, and then you'll have confidence.
And that's exactly why we want to have you on for a live webinar with the audience. So this Thursday in 2 days. We're going to be doing a live webinar with Dr. Aziz. I'm a huge fan of him and his work. There's so much valuable insight, so many amazing lessons, tactics, and strategies. I really, really love what he talks about and what he teaches. And we're going to get into all the specifics on the live webinar that we're doing this Thursday. So if you enjoyed this mini episode, this bonus episode, be sure to check out the webinar in 2 days. It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Aziz, I look forward to seeing you on the webinar.
Absolutely. And I'll just throw one more thing. I'm so excited to teach, and we'll save it for the webinar because I know we got to stop now. But the one thing that I wanted people to learn in the webinar is that it's possible to build confidence, because someone might be listening and say, oh, that sounds exciting. Yeah. But then someone in the back of their mind, they're going to say like, oh, but it's probably like really grueling and scary and hard, right? Because it's hard right now to imagine approaching someone that you find beautiful or speaking up in a big way at work or something. But here's the thing. I've been obsessed with how do we break this skill down and build confidence without forcing ourselves to do stuff that's like scary or overwhelming. And so there's a way, and I'll talk about it more when we speak again in a couple of days, about how to build this systematically where it's actually easy and we can just do it bit by bit. And that's what helps people stick to it and really make the transformation. So I cannot wait to share more about that.
Come and join me and Dr. Aziz on our webinar this Thursday. You can sign up by going to successpodcast.com/confidence. That's successpodcast.com/confidence. If you go there right now, you can sign up for the webinar that we have this Thursday. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I really hope to see you on there. Thank you so much for listening to The Science of Success. We created the show to help you, our listeners, master evidence-based growth. I love hearing from listeners. If you want to reach out, share your story, or just say hi, shoot me an email. My email is matt@successpodcast.com. That's matt@successpodcast.com. I'd love to hear from you, and I read and respond to every single listener email. I'm going to give you 3 reasons why you should sign up for our email list today by going to successpodcast.com, signing up right on the homepage. There's some incredible stuff that's only available to those on the email list, so be sure to sign up, including an exclusive curated weekly email from us called Mindset Monday, which is short, simple, filled with articles, stories, things that we found interesting and fascinating in the world of evidence-based growth in the last week. Next, you're getting an exclusive chance to shape the show, including voting on guests, submitting your own personal questions that we'll ask guests on air, and much more. Lastly, you're going to get a free guide we created based on listener demand, our most popular guide, which is called How to Organize and Remember Everything. You can get it completely for free, along with another surprise bonus guide, by signing up and joining the email list today. Again, you can do that at successpodcast.com, sign up right at the homepage, or if you're on the go, just text the word SMARTER, S-M-A-R-T-E-R, to the number 44222. Remember, the greatest compliment you can give us is a referral to a friend, either live or online. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us an awesome review and subscribe on iTunes, because that helps boost the algorithm, that helps us move up the iTunes rankings, and helps more people discover the science of success. Don't forget, if you want to get all the incredible information we talk about in the show, links, transcripts, everything we discuss, and much more, be sure to check out our show notes. You can get those at successpodcast.com. Just hit the show notes button right at the top. Thanks again, and we'll see you on the next episode of The Science of Success.